buy something. She could do this. Fixing a smile on her face, ignoring the churning in her belly, she got out of the car, strolled down the sidewalk, and into the Artful Ridge. Oh, it was pretty. She'd love to spend time here. It smelled of scented candles and glowed with natural light. She saw half a dozen things at a glance she'd be happy to have in her own home, once she got one. Wrought iron candlesticks, pale blue blown glass wine glasses, a painting of a mountain stream on a misty morning, a long, sinuous jar the color of top cream polished like glass. Tracy's pottery, too, and she loved the tulip-shaped stacking bowls. Glass shelves sparkled, and while the old wood floor creaked a little, it held a subtle gleam. The girl who came around the corner couldn't have been more than 20 and wore a half dozen colorful studs around the curve of her ear. Not in charge, Shelby thought, but maybe a gateway.
Good morning. Anything I can help you with today?
It's just beautiful in here.
Thank you. We carry local artists and artisans. There are so many talented people in the area.
I know it. Oh, that's one of my cousin's paintings. A set of them. She stepped over to a grouping of four small watercolors.
You're a cousin to Jesselyn Pomeroy?
I am, on my daddy's side. I'm Shelby Pomeroy, Foxworth now. Who your people were mattered, Shelby knew, and could be another gateway. She's my Uncle Bartlett's middle daughter. We're all so proud of her.
We sold one of her paintings just last Saturday to a man from Washington, D.C.
Isn't that wonderful? Cousin Jessie's art on somebody's wall in Washington, D.C.
Are you visiting the Ridge?
I was born and raised here, and while I've been away a few years, I've moved back home. Just a few days ago, actually, I've been settling in. The fact is, I'd like to find some part-time work. It would be just lovely to work in a shop like this, with my cousin's art right there. And Tracy Lee's, she added, as it never hurt to know people. Her little girl and mine have become best friends already.
We can't keep Tracy's coffee mugs on the shelf. They just fly out of here. My sister Tate's married to Robbie's, that's Tracy's husband, to Robbie's cousin Woody. They're living up in Knoxville.
Would that be Tate Brown?
That's right. It's Bradshaw now, but that's my sister. You know Tate?
I do. She dated my brother Clay for a time when they were in high school.
So she's married and living in Knoxville?
Gateways, Shelby thought, as they chatted about family connections.
We're just starting to look for some extra help for the season. Would you like to talk to the manager about it?
I would. Thank you.
Just give me a minute. Browse around if you like.
I will. In fact, as soon as the girl was out of sight, Shelby checked the price on the tall jar. Winced a little. A fair price, she imagined, but a little out of her reach right now. She'd make it a goal. When the girl came back moments later, the friendly had drained out of her eyes, and her tone was cool.
You can go on up to the office. I'll show you.
Thank you. It must be nice, Shelby continued as they walked to the back of the shop. Here, rustic wooden cases and shelves held pottery and textiles. Working around all these pretty things.
You go right up the stairs here. It's the first door you come to. It's open.
Thanks again. She went up the sturdy stairs, turned into a room backed with three narrow windows that opened up to a view of the ridge and the rise of the hills. Here were art and pretty things as well. A sweet chair with curvy legs done in deep blue, and a wonderful old desk refinished so the oak shone gold. A vase of red roses and baby's breath stood on it, along with a computer and a phone. It took her only a moment to focus in on the woman behind the desk and understand the abrupt change in the clerk's demeanor.
Why, hello, Melody. I had no idea you worked here.
I manage the gallery. My grandmama bought it just about a year ago and asked me to get it in shape for her.
Well, from what I see, you've done a wonderful job of it.
Thank you. You have to do what you can for family, don't you? And look at you.
She rose then, a curvy woman in a fitted dress of rosy pink. Her blonde hair fell in a long, soft wave to her shoulders, sweeping around a heart-shaped face with poreless skin, glowing from an expert hand with bronzer or a good self-tanner. Shelby knew Melody would never expose her face to the sun and risk lines and spots. Her eyes, a chilly blue, flicked over Shelby as she walked over, moved in for a cheek bump.
You haven't changed a bit, have you? My goodness, this humidity that's moving in must play havoc with your hair.
It helps to have easy access to good salon products.
Yours could use a root touch-up, she thought, as no one made her hackles prickle faster than Melody Bunker.
I'm sure it does. I heard you were back. It's just tragic about your husband, Shelby, just tragic. You have all my sympathy.
Thank you, Melody.
And back where you started now, aren't you? Living back with your mama, aren't you? Oh, please, have a seat.
Melody leaned a hip back on the desk, holding the higher ground, the position of power.
And how are you, Shelby?
I'm fine. I'm happy to be home again. How's your mama, Melody?
Oh, she's doing fine. We're going to Memphis in a couple weeks, having a few days, doing some shopping, staying at the Peabody, of course.
Of course.
You know how hard it is to find decent clothes around here, so we try to get into Memphis every season. I have to admit I never thought to see you back in the Ridge, but being a widow, you must need the comfort of family.
They are a comfort.
But I sure was surprised when Kelly came up and said you were downstairs and asking about work. What with all the talk about how well off you were landing yourself a rich husband. And you have a daughter, don't you?
Those blue eyes sparkled now, but it wasn't with friendship or camaraderie.
Some say that helped with the landing.
I'm sure they do. As some will say all manner of unattractive things just to hear their own voice.
I'd like to work, Shelby said simply.
I'd sure like to help you out, Shelby, but working here at the Artful Ridge takes certain requirements. I don't suppose you've ever worked a cash register in your life.
Melody knew very well she had, at the salon.
I ran one since I was 14, weekends and summers at my grandmother's salon. I was assistant manager of the bookstore in college, University of Memphis, if you can't recall. That was a few years ago, but I'm sure I could get references if you need them. I know how to work a register, a computer. I know most of the basic softwares.
A family beauty parlor and a college bookstore don't give you much of a foundation for an upscale showplace of arts and crafts.
And do you know how to sell?
Working a bookstore in college? Why, that sort of thing sells itself, doesn't it? We carry a superior range of art, a lot of it exclusive to us. We're a landmark in this town now. In the county, come to that. And we've got a reputation.
I'm sure the reputation's earned, considering what you showcase here and how you display it.
Though I'd have taken those caneback chairs from the front and put them at that burlwood table in the back. Done something interesting on the table with the pottery dishes and some wine glasses, some of the textiles. Oh, would you?
She only smiled at the frigid tone.
I would, but that's me. And I can say so because you don't have any intention of giving me a job.
I wouldn't think of it.
With a nod, Shelby rose.
That's your loss, Melody, because I'd have been an asset to your grandmother's business here. I appreciate the time.
Why don't you go over to Vi's? I'm sure your grandmother could find you work there, suited to your skills and experience. She has to need someone sweeping up and washing out the sinks.
You think that's beneath me?
Shelby angled her head.
I'm not surprised, Melody. Not at all surprised. You haven't changed since high school, and still holding a grudge because they put that homecoming crown on my head instead of yours. That's awful sad. It's just awful sad your life hasn't gotten any richer or more satisfying since high school.
She walked out, head up, started down.
I was second runner-up, Miss Tennessee.
Shelby glanced back, smiled at Melody, who stood hands on hips at the top of the stairs.
Bless your heart,
she said, and continued down and straight out. She wanted to shake. She wasn't sure if it was anger or humiliation, but she wanted to shake. Walk it off, she ordered herself, and crossed the street. Her first instinct was to go to the salon, vent it all out, but she turned sharply, headed for the bar and grill. Maybe Tansy could use another waitress at Bootleggers. Running on that anger and humiliation, she banged on the door. Maybe they didn't open for another half hour, but somebody, by God, was in there. On her second series of bangings, the door opened. The tough-looking guy in a t-shirt with cut-off sleeves that showed off arms with muscles carved like a mountain range gave her one hard look out of eyes black as onyx.
We're not open until 11:30.
I know that. It says so clear enough. I'm looking for Tansy.
Why would that be?
That would be my business, so... She broke off, bore down on herself. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm upset and I'm being rude. I'm Shelby, a friend of Tansy's. I'd like to talk to her a minute if she's around.
Shelby, I'm Derek.
Oh, Tansy's husband. It's nice to meet you, Derek, and I really am sorry for being rude. I've embarrassed myself.
Bygones, it's clear you're upset. Come on in.
A couple of waitstaff did setups on the tables. In the relative quiet, Shelby heard kitchen noises, raised voices.
Why don't you have a seat at the bar? I'll get Tansy.
Thank you. I won't take much time.
She sat, tried to fall back on the yoga breathing she'd practiced when she'd taken classes in Atlanta.
It didn't help.
Tansy came in, all smiles.
I'm so glad you came by. We didn't really have time to talk last night.
I was rude to your Derek.
She wasn't that rude, and she's already apologized twice. Want a drink?
He asked her.
How about a Coke?
Tansy said.
God, yes. Thanks. I'm repeating myself, but I'm sorry. I just had a little altercation with Melody Bunker.
Tansy slid onto a stool.
Want something stronger than a Coke?
I'm tempted, but no thanks. I went over there to see if I could get a part-time job. I wish I didn't like the place so much. It's just wonderful and has such a good feel about it. Until I went upstairs and talked to Melody. She was as biting as a nest of rattlers, I swear. Wouldn't you think she'd let go of high school?
Her type never lets go of anything. I'm the one who's sorry. I sent you over there. I didn't think about Melody. I try not to.
Tansy sent Derek a smile when he put a ginger ale in front of her.
Thanks, baby. Melody's only in there 2 or 3 hours a day, and only a few days out of the week. Otherwise, she's off to some club meeting, or getting her nails done, or having lunch up at the big restaurant. It's Roseanne, the assistant manager, who really runs the place.
Whoever runs it, Melody would burn it to the ground before she hired me on.
Thank you,
she said to Derek when he set the Coke in front of her.
I'm sure I'm going to like you because you have such good taste in wives. And I love your place. I had the best time here last night. Oh, and congratulations on the baby.
That about covers it. I already like you.
He poured himself a fizzy water.
Tansy's told me about you and how you'd take up for her when somebody like that bitch across the street picked on her.
Derek, you shouldn't call her that.
She is a bitch,
Shelby said and drank.
At least I gave her some of her own back. It's been a while since I've given anybody some of their own back, and it felt damn good. Maybe a little too good.
You were always good at it.
Was I?
Calmer, Shelby smiled, sipped.
It sure came back to me.
smoke was spiraling out of her ears when I left, so that's something. So, I won't be working there in the foreseeable future.
I wonder if you need any help here.
Another waitress, maybe?
You want to wait tables?
I want a job. No, I need a job, Shelby amended. That's the truth.
I need a job.
I'm making the rounds today while Tracy Lee's got my Callie with her Chelsea. If you're not hiring, that's all right. I've got a list I'm going down.
Have you ever done any waitressing?
Derek asked her. I've cleared plenty of tables, served plenty of food. I'm not afraid of hard work. I'm only looking for part-time now, but...
Waitressing isn't for you, Shelby,
Tansy began. All right. Thanks for listening and for the Coke.
I'm not done. Derek and I, we've been talking about adding some entertainment on Friday nights. We have,
she insisted when Derek frowned.
Talked about it some.
2 Saturdays a month we have a live band, and we do good, strong business. We'd add to Friday night's till with some entertainment. I'll hire you right now, Shelby, to sing on Friday nights 8 to midnight.
Tansy, I appreciate your offering, but I haven't done anything like that in years.
Do you still have your voice?
It's not that.
We couldn't pay a lot, at least until we see how it goes. 40-minute sets, and 10 of the 20 between you'd work the crowd some, go around the tables. What I want is to try a kind of weekly theme.
She's got ideas,
Derek muttered, but with a spark of pride.
I have good ideas.
With the ginger ale in one hand, Tansy tapped a finger on the bar.
And this good idea is we'd start off with the 40s. Songs from the 40s, specialty drinks from then. What did they drink back then? Martinis or Boilermakers? I'll figure that out,
she said, waving it aside.
Next week, it's the 50s, and we work our way up. It's all nostalgia. We'll draw in a lot of people. I'll get it set up. We'll use a karaoke machine for now. Maybe if we do the expansion, we can get a piano, or we can hire a couple of musicians. For right now, to start, we'll get that karaoke machine, Derek, because we're going to start doing karaoke Mondays, too.
She's got ideas, he said again.
I got one says people just love hearing themselves sing, whether they can't pop out a single true note. They'll be flocking in here Monday nights, and now Fridays, too. That's what we'll call it, just Friday nights. I know it's only one night a week, Shelby, but that'll give you room to find some day work if you need it.
Are you all right with all this? Shelby asked Derek.
She manages the place. I just own it.
Not this Friday,
Tansy continued, steamrolling over them both.
It's too soon, and I have things to put together. Next Friday. You'll want to come in a couple times, rehearse once I get it set up. We're going to need that expansion, Derek, once we get this going. You'd better talk to Matt and Griff, get that nailed right soon.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Shelby?
Shelby blew out a breath, drew in another. All right, I'm in. And if it doesn't work out, no hard feelings. But I'm in and grateful. I'll be your Friday nights. 10. She all but danced over to the salon.
Why don't you look a treat?
Viola said the minute she stepped in.
Sissy, you remember my granddaughter, Shelby?
That started a winding conversation with the woman in Viola's chair, while Viola removed a forest of enormous rollers and began the styling. The minute she had an opening, Shelby announced her news.
Won't that be something?
Tansy and her Derek, they're making something out of that place.
And there you'll be, a headliner.
Shelby laughed, automatically shifting the basket of used rollers out of her grandmother's way.
It's only Friday nights, but...
Sissy interrupted with a story about her daughter starring in the high school musical, while Viola poofed her hair to twice its volume.
I really should get on. I guess Mama's doing a treatment.
Back-to-back facials. Tracy's got Callie for a while yet, doesn't she?
Viola asked.
I got a break coming up.
I still have a couple of stops to make. I thought I'd see if Mountain Treasures is hiring part-time, or maybe the Whatnot Place, as Tansy says they do well with tourists and locals.
I got some sweet Depression glass teacups there to go with my collection, Sissy told her.
It's on my list. The Artful Ridge isn't, as they're not hiring, at least not me, as long as Melody Bunker has a say in it.
Melody's been jealous of you since you were children.
Knowing her client, Viola sprayed a fierce cloud of holding spray over the mountain of hair.
You'd be grateful she didn't hire you, baby girl. If you worked over there, she'd make your days a misery.
There, sissy. Big enough for you?
Oh, now, Vi, you know I like to make a statement with my hair. God blessed me with plenty of it, so I like putting it to use. It looks just wonderful. Nobody does it up like you. I'm having lunch with my girlfriends, she told Shelby, doing it fancy up at the hotel.
Won't that be fun?
It took a few minutes more to scoot Sissy along. Then Viola blew out a breath, sat in the chair.
Next time, I swear, I'll just use a bicycle pump on that hair of hers. Now, how many days a week you thinking of working?
I could do 3 or 4, maybe even 5 with shorter hours if I can work out a deal with Tracy, and maybe ask Mama to fill in with Callie otherwise. Any more than that, I'd have to see about taking her to daycare.
That'd eat up your paycheck.
I was hoping to wait for the fall for it, give her time to settle in, but I may have to do it sooner. It'll be good for her to be around other kids.
True enough. Here's what I'm going to say to you. I don't know why you're going over to Mountain Treasures and other places when I can use you right here. You could help with the phones, the book, the stock and supplies, and the customers. And you could help keep things organized as you've got an organized nature. You find something you like better, that's fine. But for right now, I could use you 3 days a week. 4 when we're busy. You could bring Callie in here and there. You spent plenty of your time in the salon when you were her age.
I did.
Did it hurt you any?
No, I loved it. I've got good memories of playing here, listening to the ladies talk, getting my hair and nails done like a grown-up. I don't want to take advantage, Granny. I don't want you to make work for me.
It's not taking advantage or making work when I can use you.
I can't say you'd be doing me a favor as I'd have to pay you. It makes good sense unless you just don't want to work here. I wish you would, Crystal called over from her station. It would save the rest of us from having to answer the phone or check the book for walk-ins if Dottie's in the back or it's her time off.
I could use you 3 days a week, 10 to 3, and on Saturdays from 9 to 4 when we're hopping.
Viola paused, seeing the hesitation on Shelby's face.
If you don't take the job, I'll have to hire somebody else. That's a fact. Crystal?
That is a fact. We were just talking about looking for somebody to come in part-time. With the rat-tail comb in her hand, Crystal crossed her heart. I swear on it.
We'd need to go over some things, as it's been some time since you did any filling in around here, Viola continued. But you're a bright girl. I expect you'd catch on quick.
Shelby looked over at Crystal.
You're swearing she's not making busy work for me?
She sure isn't. Dottie's doing a lot of running between the salon and the treatment rooms, back in the locker and relaxation areas. And Sasha hardly has time for that anymore since she got her license, and she's doing face and body treatments. We keep up with it, but it would sure be nice to have somebody doing more of the running.
All right,
Shelby let out a surprised laugh. I'd love to work here.
Then you're hired. You can give me the hour you'd have spent going all around seeing about a job and go in the back there. Towels should be dry by now. You could fold them and bring them out, put them at stations.
Shelby leaned down, pressed her cheek to Viola's.
Thank you, Granny.
You'll be busy.
That's just what I want,
Shelby said, and got to work.
By the time she got home with Callie, she'd worked out a doable schedule. She'd barter one day a week with Tracy, pay her for 2 days when Saturday was called for, and Ada May scooped up the other day as her Gamma and Callie day. Whenever it didn't work, she'd take Callie with her. Friday nights, her mother and grandmother would switch off. Their idea, she thought, as she pulled in the drive. She could earn a decent enough living. Her child would be well cared for. She couldn't ask for more. And as Callie got that glassy-eyed look on the short drive home, Shelby calculated she could get her down for a nap right off, then spend some time looking up songs from the 40s, starting her playlist. With Callie half asleep on her shoulder, she started straight upstairs. She made the turn toward Callie's room, swaying and humming to keep her daughter in the nap zone, then let out a short scream when Griff stepped into the hallway. Callie jumped in her arms, and rather than a short scream, blasted out a wailing screech.
"Sorry," Griff dragged the earbuds off. "I didn't hear you. Sorry, your mother said, 'Hey, Callie, I'm sorry I scared you.'"
Clutching Shelby, Callie stared at him, sobbing, then threw herself at him. He had to scramble forward, grab hold. Callie clung, crying on his shoulder.
"It's okay. It's all right."
He rubbed her back as he smiled at Shelby.
"Your mother wants that new bathroom. I said I'd stop over first chance, make sure on the measurements. Wow, you look really good."
"I'm just going to sit down a minute." She did so, right on the top step. "I didn't see your truck."
"I walked over from Ms. Bitsy's. We're just punching out there so we can start here next week."
"Next week?"
"Yeah."
He patted and jiggled as Callie's tears dissolved into sniffles.
"We've got a couple of little jobs, but we'll juggle this in. I had music in my ears, so I didn't hear you."
"That's okay. I probably didn't need those last 10 years of my life. I'm just going to put her down for her nap."
"I've got it. Over in here, right?"
He stepped into Callie's room. By the time Shelby pushed up, walked across, he had her on the bed under her light blanket and was quietly answering the sing-song questions she often came up with at nap or bedtime.
"Kiss,"
Callie demanded.
"You got it."
He kissed her cheek, stood up, glanced at Shelby.
"Is that it?"
"That's it." But she did a come-away motion and eased out. It's only that easy because she wore herself out at Chelsea's.
"She smells like cherries."
"Juice box, I imagine. And her mother smells like a mountain meadow, fresh and sweet and wild all at once. Maybe the word of the day should be pheromones."
"You really do look good."
"Oh, I've been job hunting, trying to look presentable."
"You went way over presentable into..."
He caught himself on hot.
"Excellent. How'd you do on the job hunt?"
"I did great. Out of the park with bases loaded." Jesus, baseball metaphor. He might have to marry her. "I want a Coke," she decided. "Do you want a Coke?"
"I wouldn't turn one down."
Especially since it meant he got a little more time with her.
"So what's the job?"
"Now, that's much too direct for around here," she warned him as they started downstairs. "We have to work up to how I went about getting it."
"Sorry. Still shedding the Yankee."
"Well, don't shed at all. It works for you. What were you listening to?" She tapped her ears.
"Oh, it's a pretty eclectic playlist, I guess. I think it was the Black Keys when I cut that 10 years off your life. Fever?"
"At least I lost a decade to a song I like. Now to your question. First, I got my butt kicked and my ego flattened when I tried for a job at the Artful Ridge as my high school rival, at least in her mind, manages it."
"Melody Bunker. I know her. She hit on me."
"She did not." Amazed, she stopped short, gaped up, and gave him a chance to look close. Her eyes really were almost purple. "Did she really?"
"She'd had a couple of drinks, and I was new in town."
"Are you going to tell me if you hit back?"
"I thought about it,"
he said as he walked to the kitchen with her.
"She's great to look at, but there's that mean streak."
Not everyone, particularly those who are male, notice that.
I've got a pretty good eye for mean. She was with another girl, and there was a lot of... How do I put this without saying meow?
You can say it. It fits her. She's always been catty. And she does have a mean streak, deep and wide. She tried her best to make me feel stupid and useless today, but she didn't manage it. She's following after a superior act in that area of mean and fell short. Well short. She caught herself, shook her head as she got out Cokes, glasses. Doesn't matter, and it was for the best. For more than the best.
What did she say to you? Or is that too direct?
Oh, she started with snide little comments about my hair.
You have amazing hair. Magic mermaid hair.
She laughed. That's a first. Magic mermaid hair. I'll have to use that with Callie. In any case, Mean Melody got in a few jabs about my current circumstance, which I tolerated as I wanted the damn job. She moved on, though, trying to scrape me down to the bone, how I wasn't qualified, didn't have enough class, basically, or intelligence, and it was clear I didn't have a cherry snow cone's chance in hell of working there. So I landed a few jabs of my own with, I will say, more subtlety and style.
I just bet.
With a cool, sharp smile, Shelby poured Cokes over ice. She was so steamed up when I was leaving, she shouted out how she'd been second runner-up Miss Tennessee, which is her spotlight of fame. To that, I ended the encounter with the Southern woman's sweetest and most pitying insult.
I know that.
He pointed a finger.
I know that one. You said, bless your heart.
Haven't you caught on fast? After topping off the glasses, she handed him one. I knew that one landed, but I was so fired up I marched over to the bar and grill. I was going to ask Tansy to hire me on as a waitress. I met Derek, and doesn't he look like an action movie star?
I hadn't thought of it.
You'd be looking at him as a man does. From a woman's eyes? She laughed again, waved a hand in front of her face. Lucky Tansy. And lucky Derek, because she's a sweet, smart, sensible woman. So after I apologized for being rude to him because I was fired up, they didn't want me for a waitress.
Sounds like a rough day on the job hunt.
Not at all. They wanted me for Friday nights to sing. I'm going to be their Friday night entertainment. Or, as Tansy's calling it, I'm going to be Friday nights.
No kidding. That's great, Red. Seriously great. Everybody says you can sing. Sing something.
No.
Come on, a couple of bars of anything.
Come into Bootleggers a week from Friday, and you'll hear plenty. After lifting her glass to him, she took a satisfied drink. Then, because that's not all, I went in to tell Granny before I hit a couple other possible places for day jobs, and she cornered me into working part-time there. She made me believe she could really use me, so I'm hoping she meant it.
In my shorter experience, Ms. Vi usually means what she says.
It's true enough, and Crystal swore to it they'd already talked about hiring someone part-time. So I didn't just get a job, I got two. I'm employed gainfully. God, it feels so good.
Want to celebrate?
He watched her eyes go from sparkling happy to just a little wary.
Maybe we could get Matt and Emma Kate go have dinner.
Oh, that sounds like fun. It really does, but I need to buckle down, work out a playlist. Tansy wants to change it up every week, so I've got some research to do. And there's Callie, though it's likely to be more of a weight on me leaving her for hours at a time than for her leaving me.
Does she like pizza?
Callie? Sure she does. It runs a close second to ice cream on her favorites list.
Then I'll take you both out for pizza one night after work.
That's awful nice of you, Griffin. She's already got a crush going on you.
Mutual.
She smiled at him, topped off his Coke. How long have you been in the Ridge now, Griffin?
Going on a year.
And don't you have a girl by now? Somebody who looks like you ought to have the single girls flocking.
Well, There was Melody for about 10 minutes. And there's Ms. Vi, if only she'd reciprocate.
Grandpa'd fight you for her.
I'd fight dirty.
So would he, and he's very canny. I have to say, I'm surprised Emma Cater, surely Miss Bitsy, hasn't tried fixing you up.
Tried. Didn't stick.
He shrugged, downed some coke.
I haven't been interested in anyone particularly. Up to now.
I guess it just takes... Oh.
It may have been a long while, but she supposed a woman didn't forget that look in a man's eyes, that tone in a man's voice. Flustered, and under the flustered she couldn't deny flattered, she took a careful drink.
Oh, she repeated. I've got to say, Griff, I'm a complicated, twisted-up mess of a thing right now.
I fix things, Red. It's what I do.
She managed a nervous laugh.
This is a complete overhaul. What you'd call a gut job, I think. And I come as a set.
I like the set. And I know I'm hitting on you pretty quick, considering. It just seems to me it's better to be straight out. You knocked me flat when you walked into Bitsy's kitchen. I planned to be slow and a lot smoother about it, but hell, Shelby, why?
That was straight out, and forthright, she thought, and as unnerving as it was flattering.
You really don't know me.
I plan to.
This time she let out a laugh that was more stupefied.
Just like that.
Unless you take a strong dislike to me, and I don't think you will. I'm likable. I want to take you out, when you're ready and want to go. Meanwhile, since I'm attached to Matt and he's attached to Emma Kate, we'll be seeing each other. Plus, I really like your kid.
I can see that. If I thought different, if I thought she was a kind of conduit with you to me, this would be a different conversation. As it is, I don't know just what to say to you.
Well, you can think about that. I've got to get back, and you've got things to do. Tell your mom I've got the measurements. Once she settles on the tile, the fixtures, we'll get them ordered.
All right.
Thanks for the coke.
You're welcome.
She walked back with him, considering the nerves, those interesting, fluttery nerves she hadn't felt in so long. A mistake. Absolutely a mistake to act on them at this point in her life.
I meant it about the pizza,
he said at the door.
Callie would be thrilled.
Pick the day. Let me know.
He frowned outside a moment, his gaze following the car that passed.
Do you know somebody with a gray Honda? Looks like a 2012.
Can't think of anyone. Why?
I keep seeing it. I've seen it around a lot the last few days.
Well, people do live here.
Florida plates.
A tourist, I guess. There's good hiking now while it's still cool, and the wildflowers are popping out everywhere.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, congratulations on scoring the jobs.
Thank you.
She watched him walk away. That swagger really was damn appealing. And he'd gotten her blood moving in ways she'd forgotten it could move. Still, it was best all around if she kept all her attention on Callie, her new work, and climbing her way out of the canyon of debt. Thinking of debt, she started upstairs. She'd change, work out a new budget, check and see if there was any progress on the house sale, or if there was any more money coming from the consignment shop. Then she could think about a playlist. That was work, true enough, but it was also fun. Smarter to get the hard over with first. She stopped dead in the doorway of her room. A gray Honda with Florida plates. She scrambled for her dresser, pulled out the drawer where she'd put all the business cards from Philadelphia. And there was Ted Privett, private investigator, Miami, Florida. She had seen him in the bar and grill. He'd followed her all the way back to the ridge. Why would he do that? What did it mean? He was watching her. She made herself go to the window, look out, search. She had no choice about the debt coming home with her, but she wouldn't sit still, do nothing, when more of Richard's mess tried to push its way into her life now.
Instead of getting to work, she picked up her phone.
Forrest, I'm sorry to bother you at work, but I think I have some trouble. I think I could use some help with it.
He listened to her, didn't interrupt, didn't ask any questions. That only made her more nervous, babbling it all out to her brother while he sat there, cool as ice, his eyes on her face telling her nothing.
Is that it?
He said when she ran down.
I think so. Yes, that's it. That's all. I guess it's more than enough.
Do you have the IDs? The ones you found in the bank box?
Yes.
I'm going to need them.
I'll go get them.
Sit. I'm not done.
So she sat back down at the kitchen counter, knotted her hands together on it.
Do you have the gun?
Yes. I made sure it wasn't loaded, and I have it in a box top of my closet where Callie can't get to it.
And any of the cash from the box?
I kept 3,000 of it in cash. It's up in my closet, too. I used most of the rest, like I said, to pay off bills. And I put some in the bank here. I opened an account here in the Ridge.
I want all of it. The IDs, the gun, the cash, the envelopes, anything you have that came out of the box.
All right, Forrest.
Now, I'm going to ask you why the fuck, Shelby? You're just telling me all this now.
The hole was so deep, and it got deep so fast. First, Richard's dead, and I'm trying to think what to do. Then the lawyers are telling me there's all this trouble. I start going through the bills. I just never did that because he locked them up. They were his business, and don't slap at me for it. You weren't there. You didn't live that life, so don't slap at me for it.
Then I found out about the house and everything. I had to deal with it. I found the key and I had to know. Then when I found the bank box and what was in it, I don't know who I married, who I lived with, who fathered my child.
She took a long breath. And I couldn't let that matter. Couldn't let that take the rest over. What matters is now, and dealing with it until I'm clear of it. Keeping Callie clear of it. I don't know why this detective followed me here. I don't have anything. I don't know anything.
I'll deal with that.
I'll thank you for it.
I might have slapped at you some, Shelby, but just to wake you up. You're my sister, goddammit. We're your family.
She linked her fingers together again to hold herself in.
You think I've forgotten that, and you're wrong. If you think I don't value that, you're stupid.
What should I think?
He countered.
That I did what I thought was right. I couldn't come back until I'd started climbing out of that hole, Forrest. I wouldn't. Maybe you think that's just pride, just stupid, but I couldn't come back and put all of it on my family.
You couldn't ask for a hand? A hand to reach down and help you up out of it?
Well, Jesus God, Forrest, aren't I doing just that? But I had to get up far enough to reach a hand. That's what I'm doing now.
He pushed up, paced around the room, stopped at the window for a while, looking out in silence.
All right. Maybe I see your side of that. I don't have to say you're right to see it. Go ahead. Get me everything you have.
What are you going to do? It's still my business, Forrest.
I'm going to have a talk with this Florida PI. Let him know I don't take kindly to him stalking my sister. Then I'm going to do what I can to find out who the hell you were married to.
I think he stole that money he had stashed in the bank box, or he swindled it. Dear God, Forrest, if I have to pay all that back...
You won't. You took what you took legally. Whatever he did, it's pretty damn clear there's nothing left to pay anybody back. One more thing. You're going to tell all of this to the rest of the family. You're going to get this out.
Gilly's about to have a baby.
No excuses, Shelby. You're going to sit down tonight after Callie's in bed and tell everyone. I'll make sure they're all here.
You want them to get word some private investigator from out of state's asking questions about their daughter, their sister?
Because she saw the sense of it, she pressed her fingers to her eyes. No, you're right. I'll tell them. You have to take my side, Forrest, when Mama and Daddy start talking about helping me pay off this debt. I won't have it.
That's fair enough.
He came over, put his hands on her shoulders.
I am on your side, you idiot.
She dipped her forehead to his chest. I can't wish the years away without wishing Callie away, but I can wish I'd been stronger standing up to him. It feels like every time I found my footing, something changed and I lost it again.
It sounds to me like he was good at making sure people didn't find their footing around him. Go on, get all the things from the box. Let me get going on this.
It didn't take long to track down the private investigator, not when the man had opted to hide in plain sight. He'd registered under his own name at the hotel, though he'd spread the word he was a freelance travel writer. Forrest considered confronting him there, but he thought he'd give Privet a taste of his own medicine. Once he was off duty and in his own truck, he did some cruising until he spotted the Honda parked outside the Artful Ridge. Forrest parked the truck, got out, and strolled by the shop. Sure enough, the man he'd spent an hour or so running stood talking with Melody.
He'd get an earful about Shelby from that source, no question.
With his target sighted, he went back to his truck, waited. He watched Privet come out, cross over to the bar and grill. Doubtful he'd find the same well of information in there, but if he was any good, and from the run it seemed he wasn't bad, he'd pull out some. Making the rounds, Forrest concluded, as 15 minutes later, Privet came out of the bar and grill, walked down and into the salon, following Shelby's path from earlier in the day, which meant Privet had trailed her through the morning. That put a knot in Forrest's craw. This stop took longer, but when Forrest did another stroll by, he noted that Privet sat in a chair getting a haircut. At least he put some money in the local pot while trying to mine information. Forrest settled back in his truck, patient, waited for Privet to come out, get back in his car. He pulled out after him, paced him easily in the light town traffic. Privet took the fork toward Shelby and home. When the Honda drove straight by, Forrest calculated, turned off, did a three-quarter turn to face the road again. He dug out his Kojak light, fixed it to the roof, and waited. When Privet drove by a second time, eased to the side of the road a few yards down from the house, Forrest pulled out, hit the light so Privet would see it in his rear view. He eased up behind the Honda, walked up to the passenger window, already rolled down. Privet had a map out and a frustrated expression on his face.
I hope there's no problem, officer, and that you can help me. I think I made a wrong turn somewhere. I'm looking for... Don't waste my time. I believe you know who I am, and I sure as hell know who you are, Mr. Privet. I want your hands on the wheel where I can see them. Now, Forrest said, setting his hand on the butt of his weapon. I know you're licensed to carry, and if I don't see both your hands on the wheel, we're going to have some trouble here. I'm not looking for trouble.
Privet held his hands up, placed them carefully on the wheel.
I'm just doing my job. I'm doing mine. You went to see my sister up north and entered her home on false premises. She asked me in. You cornered a woman with a small child in her home. Then you followed her across several state lines where you've spied on her. Followed her. I'm a private investigator, deputy. My license is in my... I said, I know who you are. Deputy Pomeroy, I have a client who... If Richard Foxworth swindled your client, that's nothing to do with my sister. Foxworth's dead, so your client's out of luck there. If you spent 10 minutes with Shelby and think she had anything to do with it, you're a damn fool. Matherson. He used the name David Matherson. Whatever name he used, whatever name he came into this world with, he's dead.
Personally, I hope the sharks had a good meal off him. Now, if it's true you're not looking for trouble, you're going to stop following my sister. Stop asking about her around town. I expect I could go into the Artful Ridge, the Bar and Grill, and my granny's place, and they'd all tell me how when you were in there, somehow the conversation came around to Shelby. That stops. I catch you at it again, I'm taking you in. Around here, we call what you're doing stalking, and we got a law against it. In my business, it's called doing the job.
Forrest leaned conversationally on the bottom of the window.
Let me ask you something, Mr. Privet. You think if I was to arrest you right here and now and take you in, the judge around here is going to say there's no problem with you sitting here with those binoculars on the seat beside you? I'm an amateur ornithologist. Name me 5 birds indigenous to the Smokies.
Forrest waited 2 beats while Privet scowled.
See, you could say that bird, it won't fly. I tell my boss, and we tell Judge Harris, who's a 3rd cousin twice removed, that you've been sitting here watching my family home and my sister, been following her and her little girl around town, been asking questions about my widowed sister with her fatherless child. You think he's going to say, "Why, that's just fine. Live and let." Or do you think you'll be spending the night on a jailhouse cot tonight instead of your hotel bed? My client isn't the only one Matherson swindled, and there's a matter of nearly $30 million in jewelry he stole out of Miami. I believe you. I believe he was a fucking bastard, and I know he did a number on my sister I won't forget. I'm not going to let you do the same. Deputy, do you know what the finder's fee is on $28 million?
It's going to be 0, Forrest said equably, if you're looking for it through my sister.
You stay away from her, Mr. Privet, or you'll have plenty of the trouble you don't want to have, because if I catch you at it, I'll make sure of that trouble. You can tell your client we're all sorry for his bad luck. If I were you, I'd head back to Florida and do just that. Tonight. But it's your choice.
Forrest straightened up again.
We clear on that?
We're clear on that. I've got one question.
Ask it.
How could your sister live with Matherson for years and not know what he was?
Let me ask one back. Is your client a reasonably intelligent individual?
I'd say he is.
How did he manage to get himself swindled? You're going to want to move along now, and you don't want to drive back down this road again. That's literal and metaphorical.
Forrest walked back to his truck, waited until Privet drove away. Then he drove himself the short distance to his family home, parked so he'd be there when Shelby told the family her story. Part 2. The Roots. We're 2 unseparate, and going home from company means coming to our senses. Robert Frost. 11. Confessions and truth-telling exhausted the body and the brain. When Shelby dragged herself out of bed in the morning, she realized she'd start her day already worn down. It was hateful to disappoint the people who'd raised you. She thought of Callie, wondered if one day she'd do something stupid and wake up with this same dragging sensation. Odds were pretty good on that, so Shelby vowed to remember this morning and to try to give her daughter a break when the time came. She found Callie, still luckily too young to do something really stupid, sitting in bed having a cheerful conversation with Fifi. So Shelby dived in for a morning snuggle that pulled her mood up a notch or two. She got them both dressed, then took Callie downstairs. She put on the coffee, decided she'd make up some of the ground she'd lost with her parents the night before by making French toast and the poached eggs her father favored. By the time her mother came down, she had Callie settled in her booster with some sliced banana and strawberries, with breakfast well on the way.
Morning, Mama.
Morning. All bright and early, I see.
"Morning, my sunbeam,"
she said to Callie and crossed over for a kiss.
"We get to have eggy bread, Gamma."
"Do we? Well, that's a special morning treat." "Nearly done," Shelby told her. "I'm poaching some eggs for Daddy. Do you want any?" "Not this morning, thank you." When Ada Mae walked over to pour coffee, Shelby turned, wrapped her arms around her mother from behind. "You're still mad," she murmured. "Of course I'm still mad. Mad doesn't turn off and on like a light." "Still pretty mad at me." Ada Mae sighed. "That part's on a dimmer switch. It's easing down some." "I'm so sorry, Mama." "I know you are." Ada Mae patted Shelby's hand. "I know. And I'm trying to come around to it being the situation you were in, and not that you didn't trust your family to help you." "It was never that. Never. I got myself into it, didn't I? Somebody raised me to face my own troubles and deal with them. Seems we did a fine job there, but not as fine a one on teaching you troubles shared are lessened." "I was ashamed." Now, Ada Mae turned, took Shelby's face firmly in her hands. "You're never, never to be ashamed with me." She glanced over to where Callie was busy with her sliced fruit. "I could say a lot more, and likely will, when there aren't little pitchers with big ears close by."
"Pitchers don't have ears, Gamma. That's silly."
"It is, isn't it? Why don't I fix you a piece of this eggy bread your mama's made up?" Clayton came down, dressed for the day in one of his habitual white shirts tucked tidily into his khakis. He walked to Shelby, gave her a knuckle wrap on the head, then kissed it.
"Looks like a weekend breakfast in the middle of the week."
He got out a mug.
"Sucking up?"
he asked Shelby. "I am."
"Good job."
She did her barter day with Tracy and took the girls to the park so Emma Kate could come by, have a little picnic with them on her lunch hour, and finally meet Callie. "When I was a little girl, Emma Kate was my very best friend, like you and Chelsea."
"Did you have tea parties?"
Callie asked Emma Kate.
"We did, and picnics just like this."
"You can come to Gamma's house for a tea party."
"I would absolutely love to."
"Gamma saved Mama's tea set so we can use it."
"Oh, the one with the violets and little pink roses?"
"Uh-huh."
Callie's eyes rounded owlishly.
"We have to be careful not to break it, because it's delicate."
"Delicate," Shelby corrected.
"Okay, we're going to swing now. Let's go swing, Chelsea."
"She's beautiful, Shelby. Beautiful and bright."
"She's all of that. She's my very best thing. Emma Kate, do you have some time after work? There's some things I still need to tell you. Just you."
"All right."
Since she'd been expecting this, or hoping for it, Emma Kate already had a plan.
"We could take a hike up to the Outlook like we used to. I'm off at 4 today, so I could meet you at the trailhead at maybe 4:15.
"That'd be perfect." Emma Kate watched Callie run around the swings with Chelsea.
"If I had somebody like that depending on me, there's a lot I'd do I wouldn't do otherwise."
"And a lot you don't do you would do otherwise."
"Mama! Mama, push us! Push us, Mama! I want to go high!"
"Takes after you," Emma Kate commented. "You never could swing high enough."
With a laugh, Shelby stood up. "I'm sticking closer to ground level these days." As she got up to help push the girls on the swing, Emma Kate thought that was a real shame. She managed to squeeze out some time to start a playlist, to pump a fist in the air when the consignment shop reported the sale of 2 cocktail dresses, an evening gown, and a handbag. She adjusted her spreadsheet, calculated that she might be able to pay off another credit card with 1 more good sale. She organized herself for the next day, her first day working at the salon, then pulled out her old hiking boots, one she'd kept tucked away in her closet so Richard couldn't insist she toss them out.
She dropped Callie off at Clay's for a visit with Jackson, as arranged, and watched her daughter happily exploring her cousin's little backyard fort before driving to the trailhead. More she'd missed, she thought, as she parked and got out. The quiet that let you hear birds calling and the breeze singing through the trees. The sharp smell of pine on air fresh and just cool enough. She hooked on her light pack, something else she'd tucked away from Richard. She'd been taught from childhood to always carry water and some basics, even on a short, easy hike. Cell service could be spotty, at least it had been the last time she'd taken this trail, but she'd tucked her phone in her pocket like always. She didn't want to be more than a call or text away from her daughter. She'd bring Callie here, she thought. Take her along the trail, point out the wildflowers, the trees, maybe spot a deer or a scurrying rabbit. Teach her how to identify bear scat, she thought, smiling as she calculated Callie was just the right age to find that idea thrillingly disgusting. She looked up at the clouds that skimmed over the tops of the higher hills. She might take her daughter on an overnight, pitch a tent, show her the pleasure of sleeping out under the stars on a good, clear night, and telling stories around a campfire. This was the true legacy, wasn't it? The years traveling from place to place, the time in Atlanta, in Philadelphia, that was some other world altogether. If Callie chose one of those worlds, or another entirely, she'd have these roots to return to whenever she wanted. She'd always have family in the Ridge, and a place to come home to. Shelby turned when she heard the car, looked back, looked out to take in the view of the town rising and falling with the hills. And despite knowing she'd have to go through yet another painful confession, smiled when Emma Kate parked beside her. I almost forgot how beautiful it is here. Just right here, with the town on one side, the trail on the other, so you can choose what you want and just go.
Matt and I hiked up to Sweetwater Cave the first time he came back with me. I wanted to see what he was made of.
That one's a quad killer. How'd he do?
I'm still keeping him around, aren't I? You've still got those hiking boots?
Broke in just right.
So you always said. Finally traded mine in last year. I try to get in a hike once or twice a week. Matt, he joined the gym over in Gatlinburg as he's one for weights and machines. He's making noises about finding a place to build one in the Ridge so he doesn't have to drive all that way. Me? I'd rather just take the trail and maybe fit in one of the yoga classes your granny's got going on Saturdays at the day spa.
She didn't say anything about that.
She's got a lot going. We better get going, too, if we're going to hike up to the Outlook.
Our favorite spot to talk about boys and parents and what annoyed us.
Is that what we're doing now?
Emma Kate asked as they began to walk. In a way, I guess. I've come clean, you could say, with my family. You always were my family, too, so I'm going to come clean with you.
Are you running from the law?
With a laugh, and because it felt right, Shelby took Emma Kate's hand, gave their arms a swing. Not the law, but it feels like I've been running from everything else. I've stopped now.
Glad to hear it.
I've told you some. Now I'm going to tell you the rest. It started after Richard died. It all started before, but you could say it all fell on top of me after. She filled in pieces she'd left out, backtracking when Emma Kate blurted out questions. The climb steepened, winding up, making her legs ache in a good way. She caught sight of the rich feathers of a bluebird winging through some wild dogwood, with its buds just peeking open, waiting, just waiting to burst out full white. The air cooled as they climbed, and still she felt the good, light sweat of the physical challenge on her skin. It was easier, she realized, to say it all here, out in the open, where the hills carried her words away.
First? I'm still not used to having somebody I know millions of dollars in debt. And it's not your debt, damn it, Shelby.
I signed the loan papers on the house. At least I guess I did.
Guess?
I don't remember signing any loan, but he'd push papers in front of me now and then,
Sign this, it's nothing.
I think half the time he just signed my name himself. I could maybe have gotten out of it if I'd gone through the court process or just tossed it all in and declared bankruptcy. I wasn't going to do that. When the house sells, and it will, that'll take the big weight off. And until it does, I'm chipping away.
Selling clothes?
I've made nearly 15,000 on clothes so far, not counting the fur coat I took back with the tag still on it, and I might make that much again before it's done. He had a hell of a lot of suits, and I had things I never even wore. It was a different world, Emma Kate.
But your engagement ring was a fake.
I guess he didn't see the point in putting a real diamond on my finger. He never loved me. I see that now. I was useful to him. I'm not altogether sure how, but I must have been useful.
Finding that safe deposit box, that hardly seems possible.
Looking back, she could see she'd been tilting at windmills. But
I was on a mission.
You know how it is.
I know how you are when you're on a mission.
As the sun changed angles, Emma Kate adjusted the bill of her cap.
All that cash in there, and that doesn't even get to the other identification.
He couldn't have come by it legal. I've had some moments over that, but I didn't steal it or swindle it, and I've got Callie to consider. If it comes down to having to pay that back sometime, I'll deal with it. For now, I've got some tucked away in the bank, and when I can see my way clear, I'm going to use it to get us a little house.
What about this private detective?
He's wasting his time with me. I have to figure he'll come to that on his own, or Forrest persuaded him.
Forrest can be persuasive.
He's still mad at me, at least a little. Are you still?
It's hard to be when I'm more fascinated.
They walked in silence along the familiar trail.
Was the furniture really that ugly?
Amused her friend would zoom in on that, Shelby laughed. Uglier. I wish I'd taken pictures. It was hard and slick and dark and angular. I always felt like I was visiting in that house and couldn't wait to get out of it. He never made the first payment, Emma Kate. By the time he died, the bank had already sent out notices I hadn't seen. She paused to open her water bottle. I'm thinking now. He was in trouble. Something in Atlanta, maybe? So he wrangled that big house up north without telling me that either. Set it all up, then told me we were moving. He had some business opportunities. I went along. I guess that's one way I was useful. I went along. Looking back, it's hard to imagine how many times I did. I don't even know who he was. I can't say for sure I even knew his name. I don't know now what he did, how he made the money he had. I just know none of it was real. Not my marriage, not the life we lived. She stopped at the outlook, felt her heart lift. This is what's real. She could see for miles the roll and rise of that deep secret green, the dips of the valleys cupped between the rises, delicate as her old tea set. And the carpeted peaks swimming into the clouds, so full of mystery and silence. The light had gone soft as the afternoon wound down. She thought of how it looked at sunset, all brushed with gold, little tips of fire, red, as the mountains went to gray. I know, too, I took this for granted. All of it. I never will again. They sat on an outcropping of rock, as they had countless times over the years. Emma Kate pulled a bag of sunflower seeds out of her pack. It used to be gummy bears, Shelby commented.
I used to be 12.
I could go for some gummy bears, she decided. Smiling, Shelby opened her own pack, pulled out a bag. I let Callie have them now and again. Whenever I'd open a bag of them, I'd think of you.
Something about gummies.
Emma Kate opened the bag, dived in.
You know, your family would help you with some of the debt. And I wouldn't do that either,
she said before Shelby could speak. Thanks. It helps you understand the why of that. I'm going to make a good life here. I know I can. Maybe I had to leave so I could come back, see what was real for me and what wasn't.
And you'll sing for your supper after all.
That's the icing. I really like Tansy's Derek.
He's a winner. And what a face.
He sure is pretty. But what a body, they said together, and laughed until they lost their breath. Now we're sitting here. Shelby let out a sigh, looked out over the spread of green. Just like we used to, and still talking about boys.
A puzzle that can never be truly solved.
So worth talking about. And both of us are doing, or for me about to do, what we used to wish for. Emma Kate Addison, R.N. Do you love it?
I do. I really do. Hell, I never worked so hard in my life as I did to get that R.N. I figured I'd work in a big hospital, and I did. I liked it. I liked it.